are tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everybody. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day today. Before I get into my topic of today, I just want to say something. I don't know if y'all have been following the case with Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf, right? The following case about the young, at the time he was 17 years old, and when he stabbed another 17-year-old kid, right, and actually killed him. And the way he went to trial, and now the trial came out, the verdict came out, and they gave him 35 years in prison. Now, I'm actually kind of on the fence on this, right? Because, of course, Carmelo Anthony, he's a black kid. Austin Metcalf is a white kid, right? Now, when I was going online, this case has been dividing the country a little bit. You know what I mean? Of course, white folks, black folks, black folks, right? But a lot of people are using emotions in this, right? Even people that don't know these people are using emotions instead of logic. You know what I mean? I'm a very logical person, so I'm going to think logic. You know, understand me? But I can understand the mom, when she after the verdict and she said, yes, it could be about race, it's about race and everything. But honestly, when it comes to this trial, right, do you think the trial was a fair trial? That's a question that we have to ask. Did the lawyer, did the prosecutor do everything fairly? Did the defendant do everything fairly? Did the judge do everything fairly? Right, you understand me? The jury is going to do what they do. But did the others did everything fairly, right? I know people were saying, the judge and whoever, prosecutor, all related, all to know each other. Forget all that. You know what I mean? Was it fair for this young black kid to get an all-white juror? That's the type of stuff we need to think about, right? Because I don't think anywhere in the history of America where a white defendant ever get an all-black juror. You know what I mean? So why is it when it comes to black people, they only get all white jurors, right? That's the question I'm gonna ask. But besides all of that, I'm just thinking about him as a young man. Both these young men, athletes, probably good children, man. Never got in trouble with the law, both of them. Never got in trouble with the law. But one damn mistake changed forever. One mistake. And people are not realizing, right? This kid brought a damn knife. That's what I'm looking at, the knife in his bag, right? To attract me, right? He brought a knife. That's the first thing you got to think about, right? Now, according to the story, when Austin Metcalf pushed Carmelo Anthony, did Austin Metcalf deserve to get stabbed because he got pushed? You see what I'm saying? We got to look at it holistically now. Why Carmelo Anthony couldn't fight, even if he got his ass whooped? See what I'm saying? Why he just couldn't put it, left the knife in his boot bag, and the father, he got it, he got his brother too. You know what I mean? He probably got jumped. So what? See what I'm saying? If he got jumped, he could come out the next day with the boys, and they fought it out, fist it out. You see what I'm saying? Because I can only talk for me when I was in high school. Yes, the school I went to was kind of bad. We fight all the time at my school. And I mean, one time, I brought a knife to school. I did. And in my mind, I'm thinking, if somebody messed with me, I was 16 at the time. And I said, if somebody messed with me today in school, I'm going to cut them. I'm going to stab them. I thought about, I could have been Carmelo Anthony. That could have been me. You see what I'm saying? But I'm not lying to you. The church, I'm not a Christian or a saved guy, but at the time I went to church and everything, all of this stuff, right? So all that stuff came back into my mind. You know what I'm saying? And I remember when I got to school and I opened up my locker and then, right? I'm like, no, I'm going to put this damn knife in my locker. And thank God I did. I know how I was. I know how my temper was, right? I know if I never had a knife in my locker and somebody would have messed with me, I would have goaded them into a fight, and I probably would have stabbed them. And then I would have went to jail. You know what I mean? And then after school, I took the knife from my locker, and I brought it home, kept it under my bed, and I never put out the dagger knife again, right? I wasn't there with Carmelo Anthony. None of us were. We could talk trash all day long, but we wasn't there, right? We don't see what we read online. You understand me, right? We don't see what we read online. And a lot of times we make assumptions from the things that we see or what we read online. You see what I'm saying? And then when I make me upset, these stupid ass ignorant people is making comments and threatening this man's mother. This boy is a man, no, but the man's mom. You see what I'm saying? She's a mom trying to protect her child no matter what. She's a mother, right? She does not deserve the damn attack that these stupid, ignorant, and all these people that's making threats, right, would never say that to her face. I guarantee the strong in front of the computer, right, behind the computer, whatever, they're tough. But face to face, they're not tough. They're not tough. I don't want to talk trash on the internet, right? But I don't feel bad for both of these families, man. You know what I mean? See, okay, when those dudes, the brother said to Carmelo Anthony to leave the tent, why didn't he leave, right? Why didn't he call an adult? Those are the questions that we need to ask. And I guarantee you right now, he probably thinking about the same stuff. You see what I'm saying? He should call an adult. Adult could have squashed it, right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe because this if it was raining, he wanted it so he don't get wet. You see what I'm saying? Maybe those guys didn't like him. Maybe he was from the rival, because I think he was from a different school too, right? Maybe he was from the rival schools. You know what I mean? It's not always about race, man. I don't believe that. It's not always about race. See what I'm saying? And because I know my high school, and the other high school, right? I'm going to say High Point High School and Northwestern High School. We couldn't stand each other. Two damn high school. Every time there was a game, always a fight breaking out. You see what I'm saying? Maybe it was the same way. You from a different high school. You know what I mean? He's a rival school, man. It happens. You know what I mean? I'm just sad about the situation that this young man brought a knife to the track meet. Why did he bring a knife? Did anybody ever really sit down and ask him, why did you have the knife in your backpack, young man? I know they probably did. Why did you have the knife? You know what I mean? And was it really self-defense? Once he got pushed. And Carmelo Anthony said, push me one more time and you will see what happened. according to the story goes, right? If that really happened, now, is it self-defense? We got to think about it, man. Not everything has to be just black and white. Not everything has to be all about race all the damn time. It's just people on the internet make it always about race, right? The only thing I say, because he's guilty, man. Despite how he slices and dices it, the young man is freaking guilty. He stabbed another kid. He killed another kid. Point blank. He killed another kid, right? Point blank. Because that parent, his parent, now have to grow up, have to live their life without their son. And now some people bringing up what happened with Ricky Chow, the Asian man that killed the black 14-year-old boy, and he got off of murder. You know what I mean? It was Rich's right to bring it up too. You know what I mean? Is the justice system really fair when it comes to black folks and everybody else? That's a question that we need to ask. Is the justice system really fair? You know what I mean? Besides the jury, right? Did Carmelo Anthony was scapegoated or railroaded, right? All that stuff. Was the jury mind already made up because they were all white? You know what I mean? That's a question that we need to ask, right? With the jury, was the mind made up because it's all the black boy that killed a white boy? You see what I'm saying? That's the type of things that we need to ask, right? All this crap, all this stuff. You know what I mean? There's certain things that I just really wonder about, right? But I'm sorry, but it's not always about race all the damn time, man. Because despite how he slice and dice it, that young man took a life. And I'm so sorry for him. And when I saw the verdict, man, I saw his face. I ain't lying to you. You're not human. You already saw Carmelo Anthony's face, right? After the verdict, man. If you don't feel something, you're not human. For real. Because I know right now, deep down inside, I know he probably did not meant to kill the killer. Just want to probably stab him. You know what I'm saying? He just probably stabbed him in the wrong place. You know what I mean? I know he didn't mean to. Now, he do have to live with that for the rest of his life. I hope while he's in jail, he really gets the help that he deserves, man. I really hope he makes some kind of amends, right, of the life that he took. Which I don't know how that's going to look like 20 years from now. You see what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to look like, but I hope it makes some kind of amends, man. Because he seemed like he was a good kid, man. Both of those kids, boys will be boys. Men, young men, they're macho. Well, hey, fight. Hey, get off my damn tank. Man, move. Get out of here, man. We've been there. We're young. We did all of that stuff. I watch over here. Shit. Especially if you arrive for school. Get off and go over to the other tent. You're the rival. You're the enemy. You're the op. Right? That's probably the type of stuff they were talking about. And Oscar Mezcal, as a man, young man, with that machismo type stuff. That's why being machismo is not always good. Right? Being too machismo will get your ass locked up. See what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta humble yourself. Seriously. Because maybe if he would have humbled himself, we would never have heard of Carmelo Anthony today. He would have went to college and did what he's supposed to do. Right? But the machismo, man, I'm telling you, when you act tough all day long. You know what I mean? They don't want you. I'm telling you right now, the system and the young black man in America want you to do stuff so you can go to jail. So they can use their slave. I'm telling you, modern day slavery. I'm hoping a lot of young black people right now, I know they hear about this case. I hope they learn from Carmelo Anthony. Sometimes things happen in life for other people to learn. But will they take that picture, man? Some people got to get sacrificed. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Some people might have to get sacrificed, like I said, Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf. Both of them. Now, both of them names are synonymous with each other. Right? And I always wanted, though, man, did the mother, I don't know if she did, right? But did Carmelo Anthony's mother, went to the parents of Arthur Metcalf. Maybe they couldn't call it the trial of Arthur Metcalf, and apologized. I said, "Look, man, I feel so bad for what happened to your child. Whatever, you know, I'm still gonna try to defend my child no matter what." But you know what I'm saying? Have a conversation. Did they try to have a conversation? I don't know if they did or not. I hope to. I really hope they did, man. Because no matter what, for the mother of Commander Anthony, no matter what, her son still took a life. Her son still murdered someone, regardless, right? And I'm not looking at this crap as oh, it's race, it's racial stuff. It's just the internet is making a racial divider, right? Now everything's got to be about race all the damn time, man. It's not. You see what I'm saying? That young man killed somebody. Point blank. And I don't care how you slice it and dice it and compare it to other stuff, other people who got off for murder, like that dude, that young silly dude right there. God damn, I can't think of a damn name. In Wisconsin, a couple years ago, during a protest when he killed two people, right? Kyle Rittenhouse, he got off for murder. Ricky Chow got off for murder. George Zimmerman, they all got off of murder, right? Everybody doesn't have the same luck. Remember, those people, they're not black. Huh. Remember that. A black person in America is not going to have the same luck as a white person in America. Let's be honest with that. Let's keep it real. Okay? So, we got to start teaching our children about using our emotional intelligence. You see what I'm saying? Because at 17 years old, your brain is not fully developed yet. It's still working at the age of 17. It's not fully developed yet. So we gotta start talking to our kids about, hey, conflict resolution. You understand that, right? That's the type of things we need to teach our kids. Black parents out there. Black mamas out there, black daddies out there. You got to start teaching your kids about conflict resolution. Now, every time something happens, you got to get in a fight. Sometimes you just got to walk away, man. You know, as a young teenager, man, a lot of times, I got in my share of fights. I did. But a lot of times, I'll walk away, too, from a damn fight. And people call me, you little punk ass dude, pussy. I didn't give a damn. Call me all kind of names. As long as you don't put your hands on me. You don't punch me or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And when you put your hands on me, then I'm gonna put my fist in your face. Right? You see what I'm saying? And back then, I didn't think I'm gonna use a weapon to cut to hurt somebody. Besides that little knife story I told you, I never was the type anyway to use a weapon on anybody. I'd rather we just fight face to face, fist to fist, right? And a lot of times, so now we used to do that too. Hey, it'll be in this place, one-on-one. We're gonna fight one-on-one. Let's have no business. That's what we did, no jumping. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times I had my boys, the other group had their boys with them, right? And then we'd be like, hey, these two fighting, we're not gonna jump in it, none of that stuff. One-on-one fist fight. If one person lose, the other person lose. But guess what though? You know, after that fight, it's respect. After that, respect. After that, that's how my generation did it in my neighborhood of Maryland, Langley Park, Maryland. This is how we did it back then. You see what I'm saying? But these kids, right? Because these kids today, when it comes to emotional intelligence, they don't have it today. A lot of them don't. I don't care how big and strong they are, how athletic they are mentally, they don't have that. A lot of them don't. I'm sorry for what the young man is going through right now, man. Breaks my heart. Because right now, in 17 and a half years, he'd be eligible for parole. So he'd be about 36 years old, 37 years old. He'd still be young enough to still have a pretty decent life for the rest of his life, right? Who knows, man? Because on podcasts, I've seen a lot of people, black men, that went to jail for murder. Did they have their life in jail in the 30s, early 40s? They got out. A lot of them make great things of their life. And I think Austin Metcalf, Carmelo Anthony will make a pretty decent life for himself once he's done his time. Cause he's not. I don't think he was a bad kid though, man. The one damn mistake he made, one mistake, man. So to the family of Austin Metcalf, may he rest in peace. And to the family of Carmelo Anthony, just be there for your son, for him. Just be there for him. That's all. The only advice I have to say, right? Just be there for him when he needs help, when he needs someone to talk to the best. Write him letters so he can keep his head up. Because right now, being in jail for that long, 17 years, even a year, very depressing. That's going to be very depressing, being in jail that long. You see what I'm saying? And all that. All right? But with all that being said now, let's talk about what I want to talk about, man. Last week, right, I talked about TV shows and iconic theme songs, classic sitcoms, Saturday morning cartoons, and the memories that shaped our childhoods, right? Now, this week, I am, and I will be continuing that conversation. I'm talking about superheroes, right? Villains. The fast food wars. Y'all remember the fast food wars from back in the 80s and early 90s? Oh, man. Commercials and the nostalgia that still connects generations, right? Now, let's talk about Superman, Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Now, when most people think of superheroes, who usually comes to mind, right? I think it's Superman, right? That should be the first character that really comes to people's mind. Now, Superman was created in 1938. Superman helped launch the superhero genre. Think about it, 1938, superhero genre, and became one of the most recognizable fictional characters in the world. I remember as a kid, Superman was my favorite superhero. One year for Halloween, I dressed like Superman. His story of an alien from Krypton being raised by a loving family in Kansas has inspired generations. From, Clark Kent grew up in a small town, right? Superman, right, he possessed incredible powers, including flight, super strength, heat vision, X-ray vision, and invulnerability, right? The kryptonite. Despite his immense power, what made Superman special wasn't his abilities, it was his character. He constantly chose to help others, no matter what, and used his powers responsibly. Now think about many superheroes who came later borrowed elements from Superman. Even today, the character remains the standard by which many heroes are measured, whether in comic books, television movies, or characters. Superman continues to symbolize hope. When I was a kid, right, they had what they call the Challenge of the Super Friends, right? Some of the superheroes that I can remember off the top of my head was, of course, Superman, Batman, I think Robin too. Who else? Wonder Woman, Aquaman, the Wonder Twins, man. I don't know why Hollywood do not make a Wonder Twins movie. I really believe it could work. Some people are thinking, well, it can't. If it's done right, it could really work. You know what I mean? Do it like a Justice League movie. and introduce the Warner twins in there, and then have their own spin-off movie. You see, I really believe it could work. Warner twins power, activate! Yeah. I love this stuff, man. Right? So I don't know why Hollywood doesn't do that. Challenge of Super Friends, right? I remember after school, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., all my little superhero cartoons used to come on around the time frame. And I'm telling you right now, before I used to go outside to play with my friends, I watched my damn cartoons first. Back then, right? But like I said, the Challenge of Super Friends, I love that, man. Ain't lying. They had the little Indian guy. Matter of fact, man, think about it. Super Friends, right? Might have been the first TV show, period, that had a diverse cast. I remember they had an Indian cast, character. I think they had a black character on there. Of course, white characters. Man, think about it. Yeah, because I don't remember any TV shows back then that had a really diverse cast. Like they showed on TV. You know, people don't think about those type of things. But I do. For real. Man. Trust me. I love that show. Challenge of the Super Friends, right? That was cool. Now, my next superhero I'm going to talk about is Batman. I really like his story, man. So unlike Superman, Batman has no powers, right? Now, Bruce Wayne, man, remember, if you know the story of Batman, Bruce Wayne, he witnessed the murder of his parents as a child, and he dedicated his life to fighting crime in Gotham City. His story is one of discipline, determination, and resilience. Remember, Bruce Wayne was very rich. He was wealthy. Parents were wealthy. And he used his wealth to do good, right? Batman relied on intelligence, detective skills, martial arts training, and technology. What makes him fascinating is that he often battles enemies who are far more powerful than he is. Yet he consistently finds ways to compete and win and beat up his damn enemies. Had all the little bat gadgets, remember? You know what I'm saying? I used to love the damn Batmobile. All right, all the little gadgets used to come from the damn utility belt. So as the enemy, bam, all the damn ropes and all the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Who didn't like that, right? So, before I ask this question, well, I did forget to ask this question, though, about Superman. Is Superman the greatest superhero ever created? Is Superman too powerful? And what is Superman's greatest quality, strength, or character, right? What is that? Now, for Batman, is Batman more interesting because he has no powers? Could Batman defeat Superman with preparation? That's a good question, right? If Superman and Batman were fighting right now, who would win? Is Batman the greatest comic book detective? You know what I'm saying? I do believe Batman is smarter than Superman. You know what I mean? But as far as power, because Superman is too powerful, right? The one thing that can stop Superman is his kryptonite. And where's Batman going to get kryptonite from, right? The only person that can get the damn kryptonite is Lex Luthor. Right? Where would Batman get the kryptonite from? Now, let's talk about Spider-Man, right? Now, Spider-Man is one of the greatest characters, too. You know what I mean? As an adult, I think I kind of like Spider-Man the most now. You know what I mean? But when I was a kid, Superman was my Lord, my superhero. Now, remember this saying, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, remember, Spider-Man, right? He became popular because he was different from many heroes who who came before him. Peter Parker struggled with school, work, relationships, and everyday life. He wasn't rich. He wasn't popular. He often made mistakes. He was just an ordinary guy living in a middle-class home with his middle-class Aunt May. After being bitten by a radioactive spider, Peter gained amazing abilities, including wall crawling, enhanced strength, agility, and his famous spider sense. See, right? He had the extra sense, like there's something going wrong. Something wrong. My spider sense tells me this is going to happen before it happened. However, his greatest challenge was balancing his responsibility as a hero with his personal life, right? Now, many fans consider Spider-Man the most relatable superhero. I do believe he was very relatable, though, right? His problems felt real, which made audiences connect with him even decades after his creation, right? Spider-Man remained one of the most beloved characters in pop culture, man. We don't love Spider-Man, right? Because right now, even, I think in certain things, remember I tell you people got sometimes I have to get sacrificed before things for the greater good sometimes, basically, what I said earlier in my conversation. Think about it, right? In Batman, Bruce Wayne, parents had to get murdered for him to become Batman, right? Remember what I said between Austin Metcalf and, Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf, right? Sometimes some bad tragedy or somebody has to get sacrificed for something better to have, something good to come out of it. It might be a tragic situation, but something good could come out of the situation depending on how you slice and dice it, right? Like I said, Bruce Wayne, his family got murdered, right? His family got murdered, and then he became the Batman. Superman, his planet got destroyed. Krypton got destroyed, and he came to Earth to be the hero for Earth, right? Spider-Man, if you know the story of Spider-Man. His uncle had to get murdered. Uncle Ben had to get murdered before he was supposed to do and become a superhero. You know what I mean? Because right now, if Peter Parker would have stopped that crook, right? If Peter Parker would have stopped that damn criminal from robbing the damn joint because he was pissed off at a restaurant because the damn that janky promoter did not pay Peter Parker his just due. So Peter Parker was pissed. And it was justified why he was pissed. Right? I'm telling you right though. Remember, K came up with these ideas, man. That was brilliant. Because all didn't have hidden gems, right? Or right in front of your face, right? You see what I'm saying? If Peter Parker would have stopped the damn robber, right? And just like I talked about earlier about emotional intelligence, same thing with Peter Parker. Because he was angry. He was mad because the damn janky promoter didn't pay him his damn money. So he let the damn robber got away, right? When he could have stopped the robber. You see what I'm saying? Because he wasn't using his damn emotional intelligence. Because at the same time, Peter Parker was still young, right? He was over 17. Well, I don't think he was 25 years old yet. So he was still young, right? And then the same robber killed his uncle, Uncle Ben. Right? So now the robber made Aunt May into a widow. Aunt May, his dear old sweet Auntie May, into a widow. So I know right now that Papa killed him inside. Peter Parker, not the Spider-Man, but Peter Parker, when he's alone in his room. You know what I mean? Feeling bad that he could have stopped the damn person. You know what I mean? And no Aunt May, the widow. Poor Aunt May. Man, sad, right? Now, let's talk about the Incredible Hulk. Now, before I go to cartoon, right, let's talk about the real live TV show. When the damn reporter, Jack, whatever his damn name is, Mr. McGee. For years, he been wanting to track down who the Hulk is. And then Bruce Banner said, "Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You won't like it when I'm angry." I love the part right there in the movie. That was a TV show, right? Actually, live action TV show. But in the cartoon, Incredible Hulk. Damn, I'm all forgetting to ask these questions, though, right? But let me go back a little bit before I talk about the Hulk. Now, this question is to discuss. Is Spider-Man the most relatable superhero? Which Spider-Man actor portrayed the character best? I gotta say Tobey Maguire, man. He was the original first Spider-Man. Of course, not the old Spider-Man TV show, but yeah. What makes Spider-Man so popular across generations? Because I believe he's relatable to regular people. He wasn't a rich man, ordinary person, right? Now, the Incredible Hulk is unique because his greatest enemy is often himself. Think about it, right? Bruce Banner, right, is a brilliant scientist, man, who transforms into the Hulk whenever he becomes angry or stressed. The Hulk possesses incredible strength, and his power grows and his anger increases, man. Now, the Hulk have a lot of bad emotional intelligence, man. Very. While many people see the Hulk as a monster, others view him as a victim. Bruce Banner spends much of his life trying to control something inside him that he fears, right? That's why a lot of times, if you know the story of the Incredible Hulk, man, he has to be alone. He can't get a damn woman. Can you imagine one day he falling asleep? He's asleep one day. And he's dreaming about something. And what he dreamt up, dream about makes him very angry. And then he transformed into the Hulk. And then he have a woman lying next to him in bed. By accident, he could stun the woman out. You understand me, right? The character resonated with audiences because everyone has experienced anger. The Incredible Hulk, man, right? Imagine that. Frustration, you know, he got frustrations of feeling misunderstood because he's misunderstood, right? The Hulk struggles is not just physical, it is emotional and psychological as well. Now, I believe the Incredible Hulk needs some mental health treatment. He needs therapy. Because right now, right, when he gets angry, he turns into the Hulk. Man, he don't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what he's going to do. Often, if you watch it, not only the cartoon, but the actual TV show, a lot of times he doesn't remember what he transformed to the Hulk, what he did before. You know what I mean? And then he come back, he then transformed to his regular size to Bruce Banner. And now he got ripped clothes. Right, clothes all ripped up. You know what I mean? But you know, I got a question though. Bruce Banner is the average size guy, right? The Incredible Hulk had to be like 300 something pounds. When he transformed to the Hulk, how the hell is his clothes get so big at the same time when he got big, right? You ever thought about that? Should he throw the whole everything off and she just ripped off his whole body and should he be naked? Shouldn't Incredible Hulk be naked? You ever wondered that type of question? Let his damn clothes grow with him. Think about that, man. Crazy, right? The Incredible Hulk, man. So, is Hulk a hero or a victim or both? Why do audience connect with Bruce Banner? And who would win Hulk. Ooh, that's a good one. Who would win, Hulk or Superman? Because both of them can't be stopped. Now, these are the questions we need to ask, right? Which hero inspired you the most growing up? Who is the greatest superhero ever created? Which hero had the best origin story? Man, that's a good question right there. Which hero would you want protecting your city? Yeah. And which hero remains most relevant today, right? But the best origin story, though, to me, if one is question I have to answer, I had to think about that, man. I think I got to say Superman, Clark Kent. Because how his parents put him in a capsule to send him to Earth before Krypton blew up, right? And how the family in Kansas saw him, right, as a baby, right? And they raised him as their own. I think that, right? Because he grew up in a small town, man, in Kansas. You know what I'm saying? As he got older, become a teenager, Lana Lang, right? As a high school girlfriend. If you ever saw a damn TV show, I think it was called Clark or something. I can't remember what they called. Damn, I'm always forgetting, right? But the damn TV show, right? Yeah, it had 10 seasons. That was a good show too, man. You know what I mean? And Lana Lang was his girlfriend. Once he moved to Metropolis, then he met Lois Lane. But Lana Lang, why both of them have to have LLs in their names? Right? Now, Lex Luthor and Superman. Lex Luthor was a brainy guy. Lex Luthor may be the perfect example of brains versus power. While Superman possesses incredible physical abilities, Lex relies on intelligence, wealth, influence, and strategy, right, to defeat Superman. How many times Lex will be getting damn kryptonite, right, try to get Superman? What makes Lex interesting is that he doesn't view himself as evil. In many stories, he believes Superman is dangerous because no one individual should possess that much power. From Lex's perspective, he's protecting humanity. The rival has lasted for generations because it represents more than hero versus villain. It represents competing ideas about power, responsibility, and human potential, right? So, does Lex Luthor have a point about Superman? Is Lex the smartest villain in comics? Or why has his rivalry lasted as long? And let me ask this question. Who was the best Superman? I think Christopher Reeves. May he rest in peace. He was the best Superman to me. And my favorite Superman is Superman 3 with Richard Pryor. Right? Well, that's two favorite. Superman 3 and Superman 4. But I love them all. You know, right now, if all four Superman, I can see them on TV right now. I'll watch each one back to back in 2 days. I'm telling you. I would love to see they put all four Superman, old Superman though, on Netflix or even on Disney. Probably not Disney because that's Marvel. But like on Netflix or something. You know what I mean? I'll watch it, man. All four. Just bring back my memory when I was a kid. Now, Batman represents order. The Joker represents chaos. Few rivalries, right, in fiction are compelling as Batman versus the Joker, right? Man, Batman believes society can be saved. The Joker believes everyone is one bad day away from becoming just as damaged as he is, right? Joker always wants to get some of people damaged. Man, I'm telling you right now, the Joker, right? It's so damn popular amongst pop culture. They even made a movie about the Joker. You know, called the Joker, right? I can't remember if they ever actually made a movie straight about a bad guy before. But the Joker. Hey, give me 6 minutes. And I'm talking to my wife, y'all. right? She asked me how long my damn podcast is going to take. So I tell her, give him 6 minutes because we already started drinking right about now. Were we off today? We have a couple drinks, baby. All right? You know what I mean? But anyway, yeah, that Joker was, I think, probably the most popular villain. Between him and Lex Luthor, though. You know what I mean? I'm surprised they haven't really actually made a movie about Lex. Like, actual movie about Lex Luthor. Right? They need to make a movie, actual movie like they did the Joker. You see what I'm saying? I think that would be a good movie too, man. For real. Man. So, is Joker Batman's greatest enemy? Should Batman have stopped Joker permanently? Or is this the greatest hero-villain rivalry ever? Okay. Now, my favorite right now when I was a kid. Optimus Prime versus Megatron. I'm telling you, man, this is nostalgia. Nostalgia right here. The conflict between Optimus Prime and Megatron is one of the most famous rivalry in cartoon history. I remember as a kid, I used to collect the damn toys, Transformers, man. I used to have toys, man. Me and my buddy. Where we used to collect them. You know what I'm saying? Shoot, oh, those are the days. Optimus Prime represents freedom, leadership, and sacrifice. And Megatron represents power, right? He likes conquest and domination. But I don't know, my favorite one, though, was Megatron, because, no, Megatron could fly. Optimus Prime was a truck. Megatron was an airplane, and he was powerful. All right, I can't remember his damn psychic name, though. Him and his damn psychic. They always been losing those two, of course, to the Autobots. Man, Autobots, boy. Damn. What makes this rivalry interesting is that both characters are leaders. Their followers are loyal because they believe in their visions. The difference is that Optimus inspires to respect, while Megatron often rules to fear. Children learn valuable lessons. That's the thing about cartoons back in those days, man. They taught children lessons back in those, some kind of lesson back in those days, man. Not like cartoons of today. Silly cartoons, right? Cartoons back then had storylines, real storylines that, you know what I'm saying, you're watching it and you can't wait until next week. Some of those cartoons back then will continue, because a lot of them were weekly, right? So, we'll continue to the following week. And like, damn, I can't wait till next week, man, to see what happened. You know what I'm saying? I remember watching my little cartoon on my 13-inch black and white TV. 13-inch black and white TV. No remote control back then. Right? I was the remote. Huh? Turn the channel with the damn antenna up. You see what I'm saying? But you know, as a kid, I enjoyed that, though. You know what I mean? All my other friends had color TV. I didn't have no color TV. I had black and white. Watching all those great cartoons, man. Memories. See what I'm saying? Memories, man. And me and my friend, my buddy, right? I live in apartment 301. He lived in apartment 101. You know what I mean? We used to go outside. We used to either play, spend time with each other's apartment, playing with those Transformers. Right? All that stuff. Optimus Prime, Megatron, Bumblebee, right? All those good characters as young boys, as we did as young children, have no worth in the world at the time. No bills to pay. Just little boys having fun, right? With our toys. You know what I mean? And Transformers, man, was one of the toys, man, type of toy I used to collect. Man, those were the damn days, man. Those were the days, for real. Let me talk about fast food wars real quick. Back then, right? McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's, man. All three of those fast food restaurants at the time. Man, at the time. You used to go at it when it comes to commercials. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to commercials, right? But my favorite one, commercial, is when these two old ladies, right? It was a Wendy's commercial. And these two old ladies, was at a restaurant, and the people gave him the big old bun, a small beef, and they were saying, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef?" Right? That was so funny. Oh my goodness, that was so funny. Right? Back then, right? Commercials back then. We lived to see those type of commercials back in those days, man. You know what I mean? And then, Roy Rogers, right? Before Popeyes, I was been around, but back in Maryland, right? Roy Rogers was another chicken fast food restaurant, and man, I wish it was still in today. It's good because one thing I love about Roy Rogers, not only because I used to work at Roy Rogers too. I worked at, when I think about it, I worked at all the restaurants back then. I worked at Burger King, I worked at McDonald's, I worked at Wendy's, and I worked at Roy Rogers as a young person. Dang! Wow, when I think about it. But what I love about Roy Rogers though was the strawberry shake. Oh God. Because you that, I don't want to like real strawberry, but they had a strawberry thing in there. I thought Roy Rogers had the best strawberry shake, man. I don't believe no other fast food restaurant had strawberry shake better than Roy Rogers. And the chicken was so good. And the biscuit. All right. Now, with all this stuff, right, the damn fast food wars, man. I mean, I enjoyed this conversation today. I hope y'all enjoy it. Thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.